Today's shir is Masechta Menachos Daf Lamed Aleph, and we will begin on Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph, the fourth line. Itmar, Lo P'suach Min Abayis L'Aliyah. So the way most Rishonim explain this Gemara, the way Rashi explains it, is that there's a stairway going from the lower floor of the house to the upper floor of the house, and around the entrance of the stairway there's like an enclosure. And there's an enclosure on the bottom, and there's an enclosure on the top. And the Gemara is teaching us that if there is such an enclosure, Amrav Huna, Im Yesh Le Pesach Echad, if there's one opening, one enclosure on the bottom, that enclosure is Chai B'Mezuzah, Mezuzah Achas, Im Yesh Le Beis Psochim, and if it has two enclosures, that means one on the top and one on the bottom, then you have to put on two mezuzahs, one for each enclosure. Based on this Gemara, the Noida Behuda teaches us, it's only because of this specific situation where there's an enclosure, so it's like sort of a room that one enters till he goes upstairs or vice versa when he goes from upstairs to downstairs, is the chiyuv mezuzah. But says the Noida Behuda, let's say there'll be a situation which you see sometimes in front of stores, where there's a flat opening, a flat door on the street level, that when you open it up, there are stairs to be able to go downstairs to the cellar, to the basement. That would not be mechuyev mezuzah, because it's just a flat opening on the door. The mechzalazer has a tshuva. What would be the halacha if that opening is not flat on the floor, but it's like on a slant? Would there be a chiyuv mezuzah? And he suggests that if it's not flat on the floor, but rather it's on a slant, there is a chiyuv mezuzah. Amar Papa, says the Gemara, Shema min od Rav Huna, based on what Rav Huna just taught us, we could learn, Hai Andruna, this room, this Arba Babi, that has four doors to it, Chai Barba mezuzahs. Every door has its own chiyuv mezuzah. Ask the Gemara, Pshita, isn't that obvious that if there are four doors, every door carries its own chiyuv? What is Rav Papa teaching us that we haven't learned previously? Answers the Gemara, Leitzricha afagav deragel b'chad. It's referring to a situation where the person only normally goes through one door. Still, even though normally only one door is used, here all four doors will have a chiyuv mezuzah. Which there are a number of important issues to raise when we learn this Gemara. One is, Rav Papa is teaching us a very important rule, that every door has its own chiyuv mezuzah. The only question that the Rishonim, the Shita already poses, is how do we see this rule from what we learned from Rav Huna? So the Shita answers that we have to explain that what Rav Huna means isn't only in a situation where there's one enclosure for the stairs going up, and one enclosure for the stairs going down, and we're learning that each enclosure has a chiyuv mezuzah. But rather, the way to understand Rav Huna is that there are multiple enclosures to go up, and multiple enclosures to go down, and even though there are these multiple enclosures, there's a separate chiyuv mezuzah for every specific enclosure. But then Rashi asks that the Gemara in the previous blot, Daf Lamed Gimel, taught us that only the door, Haragel, the door that people usually go in, has a chiyuv mezuzah, not the other doors. So how does the Gemara here say that all doors, even the non-used door, is mechuyev mezuzah? So Rashi gives two answers. Rashi gives one answer, that the previous Gemara was referring to a situation where there are two doors to the room, and one door is commonly used, and one door is not commonly used. So since it's one and one, so there we say that the door that's commonly used has a chiyuv mezuzah. The other door, which is not commonly used, doesn't have a chiyuv mezuzah. Our Gemara, says Rashi, however, is referring to a situation where, there, as the Gemara says, there are four doors to the room. One is the door which is commonly used, and the other three are doors which are not commonly used. And those, since it's three against one, we can't say that one door is more significant than three doors. One pshat that Rashi says. Then Rashi says a different pshat. Our Gemara, says Rashi, is referring to a situation that from the outset, only one door was used, and the other door wasn't commonly used. So since that door is not commonly used, and the other door is commonly used, only the door that's commonly used is Mechuyev Mezuzah, not the other one. The Gemara in the previous daf says, Rashi is referring to a situation that, again, that's the previous Gemara. It was from the outset not used. Our Gemara, however, says Rashi, is referring to a situation where all of the doors were originally used, and then less people live here, and therefore there wasn't the need to use all the doors, and only some of the doors are used, only one of the doors are used. Since at the outset all the doors were used, even though the situation sort of changed, the Chiyuv Mezuzah is still there. And that's why the Paiskim suggest that if somebody's moving into a house and he has the intention of not using one of the doors of the home, what he should do is, before he moves in, have that door completely closed up, never use it, because once you use it, you have a situation where there may be a Chiyuv Mezuzah. The Rambam, and this is the psak that most Paiskim follow, however, takes a whole different view to this question, and his view is that only in the previous Gemara where was a door leading to Beis HaMedrash, or was a door not used for people, so there we say, since it's a door that's not used by people, there is no Chiyuv Mezuzah. But certainly in a case where there are multiple doors, and even though one of the doors is the one that's commonly used and the other ones are not, there's a Chiyuv Mezuzah on every door. Continues the Gemara. Amar Abaymer, Hai Pischa Dakranam, a door at the corner, Chai B'Mezuzah. And here too we have Machloikis Rishonim, how to understand what the Pischa Dakran is. Rashi learns the Pischa Dakran is that the door is on a slant, the opening is on a slant, on the corner of a four-walled room. So the two ends of the wall, two end walls, serve as the side post. And the Gemara is teaching us that that is considered an opening that's Chayiv Mezuzah. The Rosh has a different approach. The Rosh says that, and this is a much more common situation, the Rosh says that you have a room that has three walls, and the fourth wall is completely open. So you have two soif kaisels. You have two ends of the walls on the two parallel sides. Those two walls that end serve as your side post. And the question of the Gemara is, does that serve as a valid side post? Many Mepharshim take the opinion, Rashi and the Rosh aren't arguing. They could both learn each other's pshat. And as I said, the Rosh's situation is much more common when you have the end of two walls. The question is that when you have the end of two walls, the Paiskim discuss a very serious shaila. When you have the end of two walls, is that enough to have a Chiyuv Mezuzah? Some say, the Chazon Ish says that no. That if you're going to rely on a Soif Kaisel, you also have to have at least a door. Other Paiskim disagree, and other Paiskim say that the Rosh is going to say a Chiyuv Mezuzah even if there is no door. We learned in the previous staff that an Chsadra isn't Mechuyev Mezuzah, and isn't this the Anachsadra? So the answer, that the Rosh is referring to a situation where it's a room in the house. So since it's a room in the house, and it has these two Soif Kaisels, there's a Chiyuv Mezuzah. Whereas, if it's not in the house, a Chsadra is made just for a place that they used to take walks or go for fresh air, that's where the Rosh would agree there's no Chiyuv Mezuzah. So again, says the Gemara, Amar Meima, Hai Pischa Dakrana, this door at the corner, or the door, the two walls that end, Chai Mezuzah. Amalei Rav Ashila Meimur, V'les Le'Petzimim, there are no side posts, and isn't there a requirement that there should be a side post to have a Chai Mezuzah? Amalei Eide Petzimim. Again, the way we've been learning, the Saif Kaisel, the end of the wall, is the best proof that it's the best end, best door post. Says the Gemara, Papa Ikla Beimar Shmuel. A papa once came to the home of Mashmul. Chaza hu pischa. He saw that door, the lehavale elapatsim echem esmala, that only had one side post from the left side. Vavidale mezuzah. And he made a mezuzah. The very big machlokes rishonim, how to understand what happened here. Some rishonim learned the Gemara very simply, that what happened here was that you had an entrance to the room. On the left side, there was a side post. And on the right side, there was only a Soif Kaisel. The problem with that pshat is that we just learned in the previous Gemara, according to the Rosh, that a Saif Kaisel is considered a side post. So therefore, the simplest way of learning the Gemara is that on the left side, the wall taka came to an end with a side post, and on the right side, the wall just continued. So you only had a side post on the left side. And he still put up a mezuzah. Amalei. So he said, Kaman, according to whom are you putting up a mezuzah? Kremeya. We're going to see Rameya's opinion in a moment. The Rameya is of the opinion that even if you only have one side post, there's a chi mezuzah. To which he said, Amid Am Rameya, when did Rameya say the one side post is of sufficient to have a chi mezuzah? That's only miyamin when the side post is on the right side. Mismo miyamar. Did he ever say if the only side post you have is on the left side, you put up a mezuzah? Ask the Ramayi, what is this all about? The Tanya. As the Brisa teaches, the Torah says, a pasuk that we're very familiar with, V'chsavta al-mezuzos beisecha. And as the Rishonim explained, the Gemara already explained that b'shorecha, mezuzos beisecha, b'shorecha, that you have to put up a mezuzah on all sha'arim, on all entrances. So the question is, if we already know from sha'arecha that every type of dwelling has a chi mezuzah, why does the Torah have to say the word beisecha? It must be coming to teach us a drasha. The Tanya Beischa, to teach us biyoschem and imin, that you enter the house from the right side. At the Omer, does that mean that the mezuzah should be on the right side? At the Omer and imin, or perhaps, ein elman a small, perhaps the mezuzah should be put up on the left side? Tam loyme Beischa. My Talmud, ask them, how do we understand this braisa? Am Rabba, derech biyoscha. You put up the mezuzah in the way a person normally enters a home. Miyamin, which is on the right side. The ki akum inish kare the mini akum. Usually a person walks, he walks in first with his right foot. Ask the Mordechai, the obvious question. Not everybody's right footed. There are many people that are left footed. And being right footed or left footed has nothing to do if you're right handed or left handed. So what's the Gemara saying? Because you're right footed, and what happens if a person's left footed? So the Mordechai says that you may be right footed, but the members of your family are probably like most people. And most people are right-footed, and that's why the mezuzah should go that way. The problem with the Mordechai's pshat is what happens if you live alone and you're left-footed. Or everybody in your family, or most of the people in your family are left-footed. According to the Mordechai, the halacha ought to be that you should put up the mezuzah on the left side. And interesting to note, there is a path that indeed suggests that maybe in such a case, you should put up the mezuzah on the left side. But of course, we know that that's not the halacha. Why not? So the Shach explains, there's a difference between a chayvus haguf and a chayvus habayis. If we're looking at an individual, so there we look at the specific individual. Mitzvah Shem, we're going to learn in our parak, the halacha is that if you're right-handed, you put the mezuzah on the left hand, and if you're left-handed, you put your tefillin on your right hand. Why? Because it depends on every individual. The chiv mezuzah is not on the individual. The chiv mezuzah is on the house. And the Torah told us that because most people are right-footed, therefore mezuzah in all homes should be on the right side. Where do we see this? The Paiskim say, we know that when a person takes the three steps after he davens Shemoneh Esrei, he should first take a step with the left foot. The halacha is because it should show that you're not anxious to go away from the tefillah. But there the halacha taka is, that let's say somebody is left-footed, he should take the right foot first. There, it's an individual chiv, and it depends if you're right-footed or left-footed. Here, it depends on the house. From here, we see that the mezuzah should be on the right side. Because the pasuk says in Melachim, V'yikach yoyoda koin oren echot, he took a chest, V'yikav chor b'dalsoy, and he took it into the Beis HaMikdash, V'yiknoysa eitz l'mizbeach, Mimin, he put it to the right of the Mizbeach, Beba Ish Beis Hashem, as a person enters as Hashem, V'nosnu Shama Kahanim Shomri Asaf, as Kala Kasav HaMuva Beis Hashem. So we see that when you put something in, you always walk to the right. So Gemara continues. So here we see we normally put it on the right side. Continues the Gemara identifying the opinion of Rameya. The Rameya says that you could put up a mezuzah even when it only has one side post. That's why Rashi explains the Gemara. My Ramei, the Tanya, Baish Enle El Patsam Echot. If a home only has one side post, Ramei Mechai Mezuzah, Ramei says there's a Chi Mezuzah, Becham Paitrim Necham says there is no Chi Mezuzah. My Tamid Rabbonon, why did Rabbonon hold that you have to have two side posts to have a Chi Mezuzah? Because mezuzois, the Torah says mezuzois, loshin rabim, meaning that you have to have two side posts. My tam drameya, that only one side post is sufficient. The tanya, because indeed, the first parsha, we say these two parshas every day, the parsha of Ahavta says mezuzois, shemeani, which I would understand means me at mezuzah shtayim. Since it said molei, it means you have to have two side posts. Kishu oimer, when the Torah again says in parshas v'hayim shemaya mezuzois, the parsha shniya, why does the Torah say it the same way in parshas v'hayim shemaya? Shein tam aloimer, it seems to be superfluous. Have a ribui achar ribui. We have a rule throughout Shas and ribui achar ribui el lamat that even miat akosef lemezuzah achas de ribui shmal, that even one mezuzah is adequate. Kivaymer and utzarich. That isn't the way we learn that there's such a chiv. Kshoymer alamashkoif v'ashteihem mezuzos. This is the pasuk by Karban Pesach when Klai Yisrael were leaving Mitzrayim, when Moshe Rabbeinu instructed them to put blood on the two side posts and the mashkoif, the lintel of the door. Shein tam leim shtei. Why does the Torah have to teach us shtei? If the pasuk says mezuzos, mezuzos always means two. Ma tam leim shtei. Zeh bnei av. Kol makom shenem mezuzos. Ena ela achas. Normally, if the Torah uses the word mezuzos, it doesn't mean two. It means only one side post. Only when the Torah wants both side posts included, does the Torah tell us so explicitly, this way Rashi learns the Gemara. The Svasemis has difficulties with Rashi's Pshat, and Svasemis' Pshat in the Gemara is, how do we know not to teach us about the case where you only have one side post that we learned as Machlokes Ramei Chachamim fi Mechuyim Mezuzah? The way to understand the Gemara is just a general rule. We know that when a person puts up a mezuzah, when you have a real door, no questions, two side posts and a mashkoif, you only put up one mezuzah. Maybe the halacha ought to be that you put up a mezuzah on the right side and the left side. How do we know the halacha is that you put up a mezuzah, only one mezuzah per entrance? That's what this Gemara has come to teach us. Continues the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan v'chasaftem. The pasuk says v'chasaftem, that that's what you should write the mezuzah. Yochel yichteven al avonim. We would think that the mezuzah should be written directly on the stone of the entrance of the house. So Mefarshim make two interesting observations. We're going to discuss the halacha many times, that the klaf that's used for Sefer Torah, for tefillin, has to be made lishmo. There's a question if the klaf that's prepared for a mezuzah has to be made lishmo. There's some achrayim want to use this gemara as a raya, that if the klaf was not made l'shem mezuzah, it's still kosher. Because let's think about it. The stones were certainly not made l'shem mezuzah. And the Gemara is going to have a whole shakl v'tarya if the mezuzah should be written directly on the stone. If there's a din of ibud l'shma, that it has to be made l'shma, there shouldn't be any conversation. The stone wasn't made l'shma. So from here, some poskim want to say that if the klaf used for the mezuzah was not made l'shma, it's still kosher. One point. Another interesting question that comes up, and again, I have to emphasize that we're supposed to follow the minig, and we actually learned this in the Gemara the other day. It's not just the minig. The question is, let's say somebody's going to want to put up his mezuzah, not the way we know a mezuzah is supposed to be put up, that's supposed to be rolled and put into the mezuzah case, but rather put it up flat. There are always people that want to do different things. So, of course, the Gemara said in the previous year, in previous shurim, that you're supposed to roll up the mezuzah. In fact, the Gemara said you're supposed to roll it from left to right. So obviously you're supposed to roll it. But from here, the Paiskan, they want to suggest that if somebody put up a mezuzah without rolling it, it may be kosher. Because if the chiv of rolling the mezuzah is absolutely necessary, so how could the Gemara have a havamina that you should put it up on the stone? You can't roll up stone. So mashma that b'di'evid, that would be effective. There are other Paiskan, and again, of course, you shouldn't do it anyway. But the other place can say that part of the Gemara's maskana, that you don't put it up on stone, includes the now that's written on parchment, it should be written in a way that's rolled up. Yochel yichteven al avonim, nem kan ksiva, to which the Gemara says, here the Torah uses the word ksiva, nem lahalan, the Torah, and big machloikas, we're showing him how to understand this, ksiva, ma lahalan al sefer, af kan al sefer. So Rashi learns, what is ksiva, what's the gzeirah shava the Gemara is making? From a get. Taisvis has very big difficulty, because we learned the Masechta Gittin that a get kit doesn't have to be written on parchment, and a get doesn't have to be written specifically with any type of ink. So to make a gzeirah shavah between a get and mezuzah is difficult because a get doesn't really have all of these requirements. So first Taisus says that it means parashas soita, and then Taisus says, and maybe a nice pshat, it's talking from the halacha, we know that the Torah teaches us that the king, the kosov loy, the king has to write sefer Torah. So there, all the halachas that apply by sefer Torah, the Gemara is teaching us gzeirah shavah apply by mezuzah. Namakam mezuzah, namalahal ksiva, malahalan alah. Suggest the Gemara Kalach Derech Su. Maybe we should learn the halacha mezuzah as this. Nemekan ksiva. The Torah uses the word ksiva regarding the mezuzah. Menem lahalan ksiva. The Torah teaches us that Moshe Rabbeinu instructed Klal Yisrael as they went over the Eiver HaYad and they should write the Torah on stones. Be'er heitev. So they wrote on stone. Answers the Gemara. Nir lamidonim. What is more lamidonim? What is more similar? A mezuzah is here forever. Sefer Torah, if we follow Rashi, it ties with Pshat, or Git and Rachman Slan are here forever. We don't learn the halacha mezuzah, which remains by Klal Yisrael forever. Miksiva shenema shenaneg ledoris. That was a one-time event. Ukamar shenema lahal, and it continues the Gemara, as the Pasuk says in Yirmiyah, v'yomlan baruch mipivya kurai elayis dvar ma'elah. There, Yirmiyah is dictating to his Talmud Baruch Megillas Eicha, v'nikosev ala sefer b'diyoy. So you see that how is ksiva accomplished? Ala sefer b'diyoy. Amle Rav Acha b'reid Rav Lerav Ashi, Rechmana Omer al mezuzos. He doesn't understand. Yes, there's a gzeir shava perhaps that should indicate that a mezuzah should be written on a parchment, but the Torah uses the word al mezuzos. And the poshta taich of the word al-mezuzos means that you should write it on the actual signpost. So how are we trying to attempt to say it means something else? Vat amrit, nailav ksiva ksiva, and you want to use gzeirah shavah? We have the simple definition of the pasuk. Answers the Gemara, amakra. The Torah uses the word v'ksavtem, ksiva tamo. So what Mefarshim explain is that if you write on a stone, you're not going to have a ksiva tamo, because the stone has nicks and crannies, and therefore you can't have a smooth, you can't have a complete writing. Other Rishonim aren't satisfied with that pshat, because you could get a stone and make it very smooth. So they say, if you write on a parchment, it will last. If you write on a stone, it won't last. And the Torah wants ksiva tama. V'hadal mezuzos. Ask the Gemara, v'machad ksiva ksaftim. So now that we said that when the Torah uses the word ksaftim, that clearly is indicative that the mezuzah should be written on a parchment. Ask the Gemara, ha'gzer shava lomelim. So now we have the question the other way. There's a gzer shava. And a gzer shava is not something that was just made up. The gzer shava, you learn a Talmud from a Rebbe. What was the need for this gzer shava if the words of the parasha themselves clearly imply that a mezuzah has to be on a klaf? Answers the Gemara, ilav gzer shava havamina lichta avna. Take a stone, and you can write a mezuzah well on the stone, the likva sefer, and then put it up on your side post, kamashmala. So now we begin, we finish the sugya of mezuzah, and we begin the sugya of tefillin. We learned in the Mishnah, arapash b'tefillin ma'akva zuzu, v'afilu ksav ech ma'akvim. Really, these are two separate dinim. One din is that you have, that all four parshis of the tefillin are one mitzvah, and that the letters of each parasha have to be written properly. Ask the Gemara Pshita, and as the Rashba explains the Gemara. The first thing that the Mishnah taught us, that all four parashas are considered one mitzvah, that certainly has an element of chiddush in it. As we've learned and will learn, by tzitzis we learned as a mandam that says that all four corners are four separate mitzvahs. But that, so therefore there is a chiddush in that rule of the Mishnah. But that every letter of the mezuzah, of the tefillin have to be written. Of course every letter has to be written. Why do I need the Mishnah to teach us that? Answers the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Merav, and we had this Gemara already before in Daf Chav Tes. La'nitzcha ala kutsu shiyod. Kutsu shiyod, we saw machlokes rishonim. Rashi says the kutsu shiyod means on the right side, when the thing comes down, it should be come to a point. Rabbeinu Tam says it means on the bottom of the left side. The Rosh says it means the top of the left side. Interestingly, I saw that the Mishnah Berurah says there isn't necessarily a machlokes between the Rabbeinu Tam and the Rosh. They both agree to each other's pshat, just the Rabbeinu Tam focuses on the bottom point and the Rosh focuses on the top point. Ask the Gemara Hanami Peshitta. That's the way the letter Yud is written. So of course it has to be written properly. What's the Shaila? Answers the Gemara, by Nitzcha, the Chiddush of the Mishnah is, Leidach Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Maraf, Kol Oish Ein Gemurl Mukaflo, Ma'ar B'chutzah, if there isn't space around every letter, the Loch is that it's possible. There's a Loch of Mukaf Gevil. And as we've explained previously, Machlokes Rishonim, how to understand what Mukaf Gevil means. Does Mukaf Gevil mean that one letter is not allowed to be touching another letter? Or does the Mukaf Gevil mean that the way a letter is written, that it should be a kosher letter, is with a space all around the letter? Interesting, Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says that the problem Mukaf Gevil is only on the letters, on the top of the letters, not the bottom of the letters. But as a machloikus, hapoiskim, how to understand the Yerushalmi? Does the Yerushalmi mean that the letters on the bottom can be touching? Or does the Yerushalmi mean that if the letters on the top are touching the letters above them, so those letters become permanently disqualified? If it's on the bottom, it's not permanently disqualified, but it must be corrected. Another interesting machlokes rishonim that I saw, here we're saying that one letter is not allowed to touch another letter. Why would be halacha if one letter is not touching another letter, but we spoke on Daf Chavtes about the tagim, about the crowns on top of the letters. Why would be halacha if one letter is touching a tag? Will that also be a problem with Mukaf Gevil? Or not? It's big machlokes rishonim. I saw interesting tshuva from the Chibina Rav. The Chibina Rav asks, what happens if when we're looking at a Sefer Torah, it looks like one letter is touching another letter? But if you take a magnifying glass, you'll see that there's a slight separation. What would be the halacha on that Sefer Torah? What would be the halacha on those tefillin and those mezuzahs? So the Chibina Rav says that Avada wouldn't be kosher. It has to be corrected. And I saw a beautiful explanation from Rav Vosner explaining the Chibina Rav's psak. He says, you can't go both ways in life. He says, we know that there are organisms in the air. There are organisms all over. So how are we allowed to breathe? How are we allowed to eat? There should always be concern that we're ingesting shrotzim, serious lavim. The answer is, the Torah was given to human beings, and what we don't see is not a concern. So he says, if you want to rely on that, lekula, and breathe and eat, you have to rely on the chumrah also, and say that what I see, to me it looks like it's touching, then it's touching. And therefore, I can't be makel, even though the magnifying glass. He says, the only time you can rely, and again, this is both lechumrah and lekula, the only time you can rely on a magnifying glass is when you're not certain you see something, but you're not sure what you see. So there you could take visual aids to help you see better. But when it looks to you clearly one way, just because you bring something else, it wouldn't be able to rely on that. So we begin the sugya of tefillin. Interesting, the Rishonim already say that the tefillin, what does the word tefillin mean? The pasuk says, v'yifalel Pinchas. Pinchas Davin to Hashem. Tefillin is a way that we connect to Hashem by wearing the tefillin. The Rishonim already say that we know, the Gemara is going to discuss this extensively now, that the tefillin Shoroish have four batim, the tefillin Shoroyad have one bias. Why? So Rishonim say that tefillin that are worn on the Rosh is because there are four senses on your head. The Chushariya is seeing, hearing, tasting and eating. So corresponding to those all four chushim, four senses that we have in the head, that we want to have them all connected to our avodas Hashem, the tefillin shorosh should have four batim. The hand only has one sense. We touch with our hand. And therefore, bayis shel yad only has one bayis. So now the Gemara discusses indeed how many batim do the tefillin shorosh have. Tana bonal tetofis, tetofis, tetofis. Harei kandala de Rabbi Shmuel. The way Rabbi Shmuel explains it as follows. The Torah spells the word Tetophis once Mole and twice Chaser. So the one that's Mole represents two, and each one that's Chaser represents 1 + 1 = 4. Rabbi Kiva Omer. Rabbi Kiva says, we don't have to come onto that type of limud. Tat be Kasvi Shtayim, Pas be Afrikishtayim. The word Tat and Kasri means two, and the word pass in African means two, 2 + 2 = 4. So all the Mepharshim asked the obvious question. To teach us such an important halacha that the tefillin have to have 4 batim, we're going to rely on the languages that we speak. So the Shach discusses this question. The Taz and the Sefer Yad David discusses this question. They say interesting pshatim. The Shach says as follows. He says, we all remember the parash and parashas Noach of the Dora Floga. That the entire world spoke Sofa Echad, one language. What was the language that they all spoke? Lashon HaKodesh. And then, Kadosh Baruch Hu Bolas Fosim, he mixed everything up. So, he says there were still some words of Lashon HaKodesh that remained in the foreign languages. Tat and Pas were originally Lashon HaKodesh words. And since they were originally Lashon HaKodesh words, that's why they are Lashon HaKodesh words, and we can learn what the tefillin should be made out of from those words. The Taz says a different pshat. He says, actually, Tat and Pas are still Hebrew words. But just like sometimes if you don't know the definition of a Hebrew word, but if you know a different language which is similar to Hebrew, you'll be able to figure it out because you know that other language. Tat and Pas are Hebrew words. So just they're Hebrew words that nobody knew the definition. By knowing the Kasri language and the African language, they were able to define what Tat and Pas in Lashon Kodesh means. Again, but the point is that tefillin, which we just explained and we're going to learn further, are such an important part of our religious experience, start from Lashon HaKodesh, the power of Lashon HaKodesh. But then the Rishonim ask a different question. If Rabbi Akiva holds that the definition of the word Taitofos is 4, and the word Taitofos appears 3 times in the parasha, so 3 × 4 = 12. So the halacha should be that tefillin should have to have 12 batim. Why only 4 batim? Rabbi Shmuel, we understand, but according to Rabbi Akiva, we ought to have 12 batim in the tefillin. So I saw there are many answers to this question. I'll mention a few. One answer is, according to Rabbi Akiva, the word taitofos means 4. So the Torah uses the word 4. Would you ask, why does the Torah keep on using the word 4? That's what the word means, that the Torah is speaking and describing the tefillin. So even though it's repeated, it means only 4. Another teretz is a very simple teretz. Yeah, let's say there'll be 12 batim in the tefillin. We have to put something in the 12 batim. There are no 12 parshiyos in the Torah that talk about tefillin that you should put into the tefillin, that you should have 12 batim. There are 4 parshiyos that speak about tefillin, so you only have 4. Another teretz, and we'll leave with this, that the Rishonim suggest, is that one time the Torah teaches us Taitofos, to teach us the basic halacha that you have to have tefillin shorosh. Now, the word taitofos is a combination, as the Gemara just said, of 2 different languages. You can't combine 2 different languages. So you need the word tat twice, and you need the word pas twice, so to get to the 4. And that's how you're only left with 4. Tana rabbanan. Yochel, we would think, yichtavim al dal oiris, you should put write the tefillin on 4 separate pieces of leather, v'nichem b'dal batim b'dal oiris, and put them into the batim in separate oiris, Tamaloimer, Zukarn ben Enecha. Zukarn Echonamatilcha, Vloy Bezbekud Mazukarnis. Hokaitzat, how is that done? Kaisum Aldal Iris, you write the tefillin on 4 separate pieces of parchment, Umnechim Bedal Batim, and you put them into 4 compartments, Ba'or Echod, made out of 1 piece of skin. Machloikis Hapoiskim, very important machloikis. Here the Gemara uses the words Ba'or Echad, that the bias that the tefillin shel Rosh are made out of should be made out of 1 piece of leather. So the Paiskim discuss what happens if you have 1 piece of leather that's made out of 2 pieces. You sew together, you glue together 2 pieces. What would be the halacha? Most Paiskim take the opinion that that's fine. The Bach is very machmer. The Bach says that when the Gemara says here Or Echad, it means that it had to originally be 1 piece of leather. That's why you see when people buy tefillin, they want to be makbid for all the shittas, so they buy tefillin made out of Or Echad. They don't buy tefillin that are made out of a combination of pieces. Again, halacha is most Paiskim of the opinion that certainly if it was made Or Echad, it was tied or it was sewn together or glued together prior to be made into bayis, it's kosher. Vimkosa, continues the Braisa, V'mkasvam ba'ar echad. You wrote these four parashas on one piece of leather. V'nichan b'dal batim. And the Gemara will describe, you pushed those four parashas, all that should have been written on four separate pieces, on one into one bayis, yotza. However, if you're going to do so, tzarech shei revach b'neim divrei Rebbe. Rebbe holds you have to have enough space between the parashas that when you're going to insert them in this in their individual compartments, they should each one be in their own department. V'cham omrim, come say, ein tzarech. The way most mefarshim explain is that everybody agrees that you have to have space in between them. It's only a question how much space is required. Continues the Gemara, v'shavin shenaisin chut amashicha ben kol achas v'achas. Very big machlokes rishonim, how to understand this Gemara. Some rishonim are of the opinion that the Gemara is referring specifically to the case that we're speaking about. That the right way to write the tefillin, to make the tefillin shorosh, is to have the four parashias and four batim. But if you're going to do as the Gemara is discussing, where you put them in separate batim, you have to be careful to have a string separating each one. That's Pashup Shad in the Gemara. But there are other Rishonim that say that the Shavim is not going back to the case that we're discussing. Even if you have a situation, the right situation, where you have the four parashias and four batim, you should still have a chut a mashicha for each bias. And in that also there's machloikas, what does that mean? Some say you have to have a chut mashicha just in between the batim. The Rambam seems to learn you have to have the chut around each parasha of the tefillin. Furthermore, says the Gemara, them ein charitzim nicker. You have to have these four compartments in the bayis shel rosh. If they're not noticeable as four separate compartments, psulos. Tanabon. Ketzav kaisvon. How should they be written? Tefillin shel yad kosvoy al or echad. The tefillin shel yad should be written all on one piece of leather. Vim kosvoy be'arba oris. But if they were written on four pieces of leather, from hanicha beis echad yotza, and you put them all in one bayis, it's kosher. And there's a very nice raya that Rishonim say, how do we know that so is the halacha? Because unlike the mezuzah, that we discussed the halachas the other day, that the way the mezuzah is written, it's written on one piece of parchment, and the right way to write it is the parash of a hafta on top of the parash of a mishmai. We discussed exactly how it should look. By the tefillin, even the tefillin shayad, each parash is written alongside each other. So why does the Torah differentiate that here one is written alongside each other and here's one on top of each other? To teach us this very halacha, that even though preferably the tefillin shayad, all of the parashas should be written by Ar Echad, still if they're written by Abba Iris, it's Yotza. However, says the Gemara, v'tzarech ledabik. If you wrote them on separate pieces of parchment, you should connect them. Shenemar, v'hayolo achayolo ois ayotcha, k'shem sh'ois echme b'chutz. We know that tefillin shayad is not made out of separate compartments like the tefillin shorosh. It's one bias. Kach ois echos b'fnim div Reb Yehuda. Reb Yosi omer, ayin etzorach, you don't have to connect them. Om Reb Yosi, umaydali Reb Yehuda b'rebi, she'im ein loy tefillin shayad. Let's say somebody doesn't have tefillin shayad, v'yesh loy tefillin shorosh, and he has two tefillin shorosh, she'toyla ar al achas mehen, that he should put a piece of leather on top of that tefillin shel rosh, because as we said a moment ago, the tefillin shel rosh are four compartments. But not only are they four compartments, they're noticeably four compartments. The tefillin shel yad is supposed to be only one bias. So to avoid that problem, take a piece of leather and cover up your tefillin shel rosh. Umaycha. And that put it on. Ask the Gemara, Maida, hana plaktayu. Answers the Gemara, Amarava mitvarv shel Rabbi Yosi chaz Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda ultimately agreed with Rabbi Yosi's psak. So here the Gemara is teaching us that you're allowed to make tefillin shel yad into tefillin shel rosh. Ask the Gemara, Eini, is that true? Vashalach Rav Chananya mishmeid Rav Yochanan, tefillin shel yad, oisnoi soy shel rosh. A person could turn his tefillin shel yad into tefillin shel rosh. However, shel rosh, ein oisnoi shel yad. But you can't turn the tefillin shel rosh into tefillin shel yad. Lefish ein meridin, bekedusha chamura lekedusha kala. The tefillin shel rosh is considered kedusha chamura. Tefillin shel yad considered kedusha kala. Why? So the Rishonim give many reasons. Rashi explains, because we know that we have to have the word shakai, shun dalad yud, spelled out on the tefillin. The tefillin shel Rosh has the shin on the bottom. We'll talk about it tomorrow. The dalet in the back. The tefillin shel Yad only has one of the letters, the yud. So this has two and this has one. Tosfos is not satisfied with Rashi's pshat because he says this whole halacha of the shin dalet yud is not so clear. Tosfos says simpler because there's a halacha l'mosh m'Sinai we're going to discuss that the tefillin shel Rosh have to have that shin on them. This doesn't have to have the shin. Another pshat that the Rishonim suggests is that Tefillin Shel Rosh is visible to all. Tefillin Shel Yad is not visible to all. So obviously, since it's more visible to all, we're going to learn the Gemara tomorrow. So the Tefillin Shel Rosh represent that concept. That's why the Tefillin Shel Rosh are considered holier. A different pshat is that what is the most important part of our body? Hopefully the most important part of our body is the Rosh. So since the Tefillin Shel Rosh are on the Rosh, they represent the higher level of Kedusha. But then I saw that actually the Pesach could discuss a very interesting question. Here we're saying that there's an issue of, famous issue, Ma'al B'Kodesh V'Loi Meridin. And therefore Tefillin Shel Yad can become Tefillin Shel Rosh, but Tefillin Shel Rosh cannot become Tefillin Shel Yad. What is the halacha if you don't have any other Tefillin? What is the halacha if you don't have any other tefillin? Can you make those tefillin shel Rosh into tefillin shel Yad? Why? Because the Pesachim discuss maybe the mitzvahs asay of wearing tefillin should be doicha the lois asay of ma'al b'kodesh v'emaridin. So actually, before we discuss that question, the Prima Gobdim has a very interesting psak. We just discussed this the other day, that a Sefer Torah cannot be made into tefillin for the same reason, Ma'al B'Kodesh V'Loi Meridin. Says the Prima Gadon, what would be the halacha if your Sefer Torah is so out of repair that it can't be fixed? We discussed such situations earlier. Will there still be a din of Ma'al B'Kodesh V'Loi Meridin? So he says, of course not. He says, Ma'al B'Kodesh V'Loi Meridin is only when it's usable for its original purpose. But if it's not usable for its original purpose, there's no din of Ma'al B'Kodesh V'Loi Meridin. So according to those Paiskim, so too would be the halacha, that even though there's a din, a ma'al b'kodesh v'ein meridin, that's only when you have options. When you have no option, then you can make the tefillin shel Rosh into the tefillin shel Yad. Other Paiskim disagree. Because Esed Eichelaisa say, is only said that that's the only way you can be mekayim the mitzvah. The classical case, the avnate of the kohen, had to be, of the kohen gadol for sure, had to be shatness. There's no way that you can wear the avnate without being shatness. You can have tefillin without taking tefillin shel Rosh, and therefore you don't say Esed Doichalosa say. But back to our Gemara. How could the Gemara have given us a piece of advice? How to make the tefillin shel Rosh and tefillin shel Yad? Isn't there a din? Ufishay meridim kedusha chamur l'kedusha kala? Loi kasha. Haba, tikta haba chadata. All tefillin can indeed, once they were tefillin shel Rosh, can't be made into tefillin shel Yad. Tefillin that are new can. Ulaman dama has mana milsi. But there's a man, the Amid, that says, just designation is enough. Answers the Gemara, that's the Lami Kara. That if the person made a Tanai up front, that he could change it to Tefillin Shel Rosh and Tefillin Shel Yad, it would be effective. So the big machloikis harishayim, when would the Tanai be effective? The Arzaruah says, you can only make a Tanai before you used it. That means, when I made the Tefillin Shel Rosh, indeed meant that there should be Tefillin Shel Rosh, but I made a Tanai that if I'll need it for Tefillin Shel Yad, I could use them. But let's say I didn't just make the Tefillin. I actually wore the Tefillin, then the Tanai is no longer effective. There are other Rishonim that are more makel, and they say that as long as I made the Tanai before I wore it, even if I already wore it as Tefillin Shel Rosh, it would be effective to make such a Tanai up front. Here too, the Paiskim say, but if we're learning the halacha is that tefillin has to be made, the leather has to be made l'shma, so this leather was made for the shame tefillin shel Rosh. How could it be used for shel Yad? Or vice versa, the ibur had to be made l'shma. To which the Paiskim answer, that when you make leather for tefillin, you don't have to have in mind that I'm using this piece of leather for tefillin shel Rosh. I have to have in mind that I'm using this piece of leather for tefillin shel Yad. I only have to have in mind that I'm using this leather for tefillin. And that is enough to fulfill the requirement of Ibur L'shma. So the problem that the tefillin was made for Rosh or for Yad, or vice versa, is not an issue, because when a soif prepares the leather for the tefillin, he should only have in mind I'm making tefillin, not which specific tefillin. One more point. Even though there's different menhagim how many letters, how many rows there are in Tefillin Shel Yad and Tefillin Shel Rosh. The Tefillin Shel Rosh typically have, I think, 7 lines. Tefillin Shel Yad have 4 lines. That isn't ma'akiv, and that isn't the reason that you shouldn't be able to make Yad into Rosh or Rosh into Yad.